This morning, we're going to endeavor to answer the question, what is wisdom? And as we do that, I think there's something very important that we need to establish right here at the very beginning of the lesson. And that is that IQ and wisdom are not the same thing. There may be a correlation between those two things, but it's a very small one. IQ and wisdom, we're not talking about the same things. Because you have all known, just like I have, some people who are highly, highly educated, but don't have a lot of wisdom. And we also know people who, as far as the world is concerned, perhaps they do not have a great deal of education. They do not come from the world of academia. They perhaps do not even, if it were to be measured, have an extremely high IQ as far as genius level and so on is concerned. But they are oozing with wisdom. And they are the people that we go to. Not necessarily always the most highly educated people, but they are the people that we go to when we want to know something. So, this morning, we want to think for just a little bit about a great biblical concept, a great biblical doctrine and word called wisdom. Particularly, we think about that in the Old Testament, but the New Testament is full of that as well. And here's how we're going to do that. We're going to take a threefold approach in answering the question, what is wisdom? Number one, there's going to be a definition. We're going to establish and look at, biblically and practically, a definition. Number two, we're also going to see from the Scriptures a depiction of wisdom. And then third, we're going to see a distinction about wisdom. And when you see this, when we come to the third answer to the question of what is wisdom, and you pick up your church bulletin that you have there, perhaps you notice on the back that it's a lot of blanks there. And when we get to the third point about the distinction of wisdom, I want you to turn that over on your bulletin, turn it to the back page of your bulletin, and you can help go along with this and take some notes here, making this distinction as we'll look at it from James chapter 3. And hopefully this will help make the lesson a little more practical and also keep it in our hearts just a little better and a little clearer. So now let's begin with number one. As we ask the question, what is wisdom? Number one, here is a definition. Perhaps you are already ahead of the game in regarding the biblical definition of wisdom, and you're turning to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a great wisdom book. It's full of wise sayings that are to be incorporated by all mankind. But in Proverbs 9, verse 10, you have what is considered to be the classic biblical definition of wisdom. Just like Hebrews 11, verse 1 is the classic biblical definition of faith, Proverbs 9, verse 10 is your classic biblical definition of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now notice it's not a comprehensive definition. It's not the total definition, but it is a biblical direction that it points us in to understand wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now we understand that the word fear of the Lord, that phrase, the fear of the Lord, is used a couple of different ways in the Bible. First, there are those people who are not doing God's will, who have a great fear of Him, perhaps, at thinking of Judgment Day. Because perhaps they know the difference between right and wrong, and they've chosen to do the wrong. Well, there's fear in that respect. Hebrews 12 says, "Our God is a consuming fire." Certainly, He is to be feared for His power against judgment and at judgment for those who do wrong. But there's another way we understand it, that the word fear of the Lord, that phrase is used in the Bible, as we think about people who are trying to do God's will. It really is perhaps better understood to be respect. Maybe even maybe even more completely, reverence. Reverence of God.
the reverence of God, how we revere Him, how we hold Him in that very special place in our mind and heart and life, that there's no one else like Him. And with great respect and reverence and holy fear, we hear Him. It's that kind of fear that, notice the text says, is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, this kind of reverence and respect for God is not just wisdom in its totality, but notice it says it's the beginning of wisdom. This is the seed that is planted in our hearts from which grows wisdom. It's the kernel, you might say. It's the seed that we planted. It's the germinating point, the beginning point of gaining wisdom. You notice that the rest of Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So it's reverence and knowledge. And when we revere Him, we'll want to know Him. And the more we know Him, the more we grow to be like Him. And so, this is where we begin. This is where we start. This is the jumping off point, you might say, to answering and defining what is wisdom. And throughout the remainder of our moments together here this morning, we're going to look at some other scriptures, particularly from the book of Proverbs and then from the book of James and a few other places that will help us even build more on this idea of defining what is wisdom. But before we leave this first point, I do want to add one more thing. Many years ago, I asked an old gospel preacher that I had great respect for, a man who has now passed on to his great reward in heaven, to define wisdom. I said, you know, I'm thinking about doing a lesson on wisdom. How would you define it? And I know I have shared this with some of you before, but just to remind us once again, from sort of, we looked at a biblical definition. Now here's a practical definition as well. The biblical one is very practical, but to also kind of put it in a little more common terms, this good old brother that I asked to give me a definition of wisdom or what is wisdom, he came back to me and he says, very simply, I would say wisdom is the know-how. The know-how. And when he first told me that, I thought, I'm not sure I can do much with that, you know, for a sermon. But, you know, the longer I've lived and the more I've thought about that, I think that is a pretty brilliant definition. The know-how. It's not a technical definition. I don't know of any theological dictionaries that you'll find that in. But just on an everyday basis, that makes so much sense to me. The know-how. You look at someone that you regard as wise, and you usually regard that person as wise. Why? Because they know how to approach things. They know how to do things. And again, it's not IQ that I'm talking about. I'm talking about knowing what to do, when to do it, how to do it, maybe who to do it, who should do it. It's a practical way that we live. And surround all this with the spiritual dynamic that we're talking about being like God, that we're talking about how we live our Christian life. Surround all this with the spiritual dynamic that we know how. Not arrogantly, not in a bragging, boasting kind of way, but because we have a reverence and fear of God, and because we have come to know God, fear of God, knowledge of the Holy One, Proverbs 9:10, because we fear God, revere God, and because we know God, we learn how to be like God. More importantly, we learn how God wants us to be. We know how. And we learn that from the Scriptures. So what is wisdom? Well, that's the biblical and the practical definition that really, I think they marry and mesh with one another very nicely. But hopefully that will help us and as we approach and we gain more wisdom, the more we grow, the more we learn, the more we progress and mature in our spiritual life. But now, let's move to a second part to our answer to this question, what is wisdom? And that is a depiction of wisdom. The book of Proverbs is amazing in the way that it depicts wisdom. Really, what we're talking about here more or less is a personification of wisdom. Giving wisdom, this concept, instead of making it some nebulous concept that's way out here that is hard to attain, giving wisdom a personification, a depiction, like a person, so that you and I can understand what wisdom really is. This is sort of an expansion of point number one regarding the definition, but we're going to look at a depiction of wisdom. Now, you must keep in mind that the ultimate personification of wisdom is found in Jesus, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But look, if you will, in the book of Proverbs, look, if you will, at chapters 8 and 9. This happens in many other places in the book of Proverbs, but take for just a moment, for the sake of our time limitations this morning, and look at Proverbs 8. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, and look at the depiction of wisdom that you find here. Proverbs 8, listen to how wisdom is compared to a person. Specifically, wisdom here is called a female, a she, or use the feminine terms to define and describe wisdom. It's the depiction. And listen, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the path meets. She cries out at the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. And here's what she cries. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. To you, simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. Move down, if you will, to verse 12. I, wisdom, you see the depiction here? You see the personification? I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. And by the way, those three words and a couple of others, you will find just looping themselves over and over and over in the book of Proverbs and a few other places in the Bible as well. We're talking about wisdom. We're talking about knowledge. We're talking about prudence. We're talking about discretion. We're talking about understanding. And all of these terms are used in such a way to be synonymous with the definition and the depiction of what wisdom is from a biblical standpoint. And so all of these terms help give us a different nuance, a different view, a different understanding, a more complete knowledge of what wisdom really is. Verse 13, Proverbs 8. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. If you keep reading on, and you look down at verse 32 of Proverbs 8, now therefore listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door.
For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all those who hate me love death. You see the depiction there, the personification of wisdom. And we do not read every verse of chapter 8. You can go through there and you can see how in the verses that we didn't read this morning also do the same thing. That wisdom is depicted as not some concept that is hard to grasp or some theological jargon that only certain people that might be in the elite circles could get their minds around. But this is something for everyone. Wisdom is like a person right next to us. And she says, I love those who love me. Listen to me and gain prudence and understanding and discretion. Wisdom. You see, that's the depiction that God uses about wisdom, but there's more to it. And I said just a moment ago, because ultimately, wisdom is personified and depicted in its greatest form with Jesus. When we look in our New Testament at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom of God. Christ Jesus is the wisdom of God. He is the ultimate personification. He is the ultimate depiction of wisdom. And here are at least three instances of that I want to call to your attention from going back to Proverbs 8 and 9. Here are at least three instances of that, where wisdom is depicted in the Old Testament, but ultimately depicted by Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6, you will read there that wisdom says what? Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. You know, someone has said that if you could sum up with only one word, the message of the Bible that God is trying to communicate to us, that one word would be listen. And so here, with wisdom, and the depiction of wisdom in Proverbs 8 verse 6, listen, for I will speak excellent things. In the book of Matthew chapter 11 verse 15, and in Matthew 13 verse 9, Matthew 11, Matthew 13, and a few other places I might add, Jesus makes this statement. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Some translations say, he who has ears to hear, listen to me. You see, the Old Testament depiction of wisdom in Proverbs 8 verse 6 is listen. Jesus, as our wisdom, says what? Listen to me. Because he is, for us, the wisdom of God. You keep comparing and reading, like I said, that's at least one time. Here's a second one. Look at Proverbs 8. Look at verse 7. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Wisdom says of itself in Proverbs 8, verse 6, the depiction, the personification there is, listen and I will speak truth. Jesus says of himself in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 8, 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus says also in John chapter 8, just a few sentences after that statement about the truth making us free, in contrast, the devil is the father of what? All lies. And that when he speaks of his own resources, he speaks of himself because he's the father of all lies. And that's all that he knows to do, and that's how he is defined. It is his essence. Wisdom, the essence of it, is truth and understanding and discretion and prudence. The
the essence of wisdom is truth. And Jesus says, I am the truth. He became for us the wisdom of God. But now here's a third example that I want you to consider for a moment here. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. And in Proverbs chapter 9, there's an interesting description in the first 6 verses about wisdom's invitation to us to dine, to eat. Proverbs 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places in the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. You see, wisdom here is depicted as giving us a feast and inviting us to eat and inviting us to find the knowledge, the prudence, the discretion, the wisdom that is offered from God. Jesus, on more than one occasion, but one of those is found in Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, Jesus told a parable where he said, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he begins to describe in Matthew 22, about the first 14 or so verses, a man who had a feast, and he invited people to it. And he said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. But you know, there's something even greater about this analogy and comparison between and depiction between wisdom giving a feast and Jesus being our wisdom and giving a feast. And it's found all the way over in the book of Revelation chapter 19. And in Revelation chapter 19, you read about the feast of the Lamb. In fact, in Revelation 19, we begin reading at verse 5, and here's what we find. Revelation 19, verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, you see the terminology, those who fear him, saying, amen, alleluia. Both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her, and that's us, to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are the true sayings of God. You see the depiction of wisdom in Proverbs 9? Giving a banquet, a feast, and saying to everyone and anyone, come, listen, and learn. And that ultimate depiction on Judgment Day is the great marriage supper of the Lamb by Christ, the wisdom of God for us. So what is wisdom? Number one, the definition. Number two, the depiction. But now number three, and if you want to take your bulletin and look at the back of it, the distinction. You see, as we study a subject like this, obviously, there's more than one kind of wisdom. There is the wisdom of the world, and there's the wisdom that's not of this world. There's the wisdom of the devil, there's the wisdom of God. There's the wisdom that we want. There's the wisdom that we don't need. And so, we need to understand there's a distinction between what some people in this world use as a definition of wisdom versus what the Bible says is wisdom. For that distinction, I encourage you to turn to James chapter 3. Because in James chapter 3, beginning at about verse 13, you will see a very clear distinction that is enumerated about the difference between wisdom of God and wisdom that's not of God. If you also, you might want to scribble this note. We're not going to read it this morning, but you might want to scribble this note. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through the end of chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, start reading there. Just read right through the chapter division and read all the way down to the end of chapter 2. And in those verses in 1 Corinthians, you find a tremendous contrast between wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. And I would encourage you to reinforce this lesson this morning. When you get a few minutes, read those verses as well. But let's spend our time in James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding? Then we see those words in Proverbs all over the place. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy or partiality. Now here's the distinction between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. And when you look at that little chart that you have on the back of the bulletin in front of you, look at six things this text says about wisdom that is not from above. Notice it says that there's a wisdom, verse 15, that does not descend from above. Well, how is it described? Well, there are at least six. You might could even gain more from this text, but there are at least six descriptions here of the wisdom that is not from above. Number one, it is earthly. And I'm reading from the New King James. You may have a different translation that may give a different word there. But the meaning is that it's worldly. It's secular. It has to do with everything of this world and nothing to do with God. It's earthly. Number two, it is sensual. In other words, it's carnal. It's unspiritual. It's all about the human nature. And what I, as a human being, can do and behave and say and believe. It's sensual. Number three, it's demonic. That's basically self-explanatory, but the idea means that it's of the devil. That's the kind of wisdom that's not from above. Number four, it is full of envy. It's envious. It's jealous. It is about what's in it for me versus anyone else. And number five, it is self-seeking. And notice how number four and five on your list that's on the back of the bulletin are paired together, really, by the inspired James, where he says envy and self-seeking. In fact, in the text, he mentions it twice. Envy and self-seeking, if you'll go back and you'll read all those verses that we did again, 13 through 17, you'll notice he mentions it twice. And the first time he calls it bitter envy and self-seeking. And you know, it's almost any time you see one, you see the other. You see envy, you're going to see self-seeking. You see self-seeking, you guarantee there's going to be some envy around. But all these are used to describe, these first five on your list there, are used to describe the wisdom that the Bible says is not from above. Number six on your list there, if you notice, when all these things are present, when you have wisdom that is earthly, sensual, demonic, when it's full of envy, bitter envy, and self-seeking, what's there? Confusion. The wisdom that is not from above is full of confusion. You remember that practical definition of wisdom that I said a few moments ago? It was called the know-how. That's the wisdom that's from above. That's the kind of wisdom that we're trying to gain from Jesus. But the wisdom that's not from above is full of what? Confusion. They don't know how. And consequently, that's what results. But now, what about the wisdom that is from above? Well, there are nine blanks on that piece of paper in front of you. And when you look at this text, here are nine things that you can find to describe the wisdom that is from above. Number one is just that, from above. It's from above. You got to start there. Start at the highest place. You got to start from above. So the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that we're trying to gain, is from above. Number two, it is pure. Something pure is in its strongest form. It's in its greatest form. So it's pure. Number three, it is peaceable. And we didn't read verse 18, the very last verse of the chapter, but it elaborates on how righteousness is sown in the hearts of those who desire to make peace. And so it's peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. He is our wisdom. Number four on your list is gentle. This kind of wisdom is gentle. Number five, the wisdom that is from above is willing to yield. In other words, it doesn't always have to have its own way. It's willing to yield. It works with people. Not self-seeking. Not arrogant. Number six, it is full of mercy. The wisdom that is from above, because it comes from God, is full of mercy. Number seven, it is full of good fruits. Or one translation at least says good works. Your works are the fruit of what you do. Jesus said, by the fruits you shall know them. Well, that's not just about the bad guys. It's also about the people who are trying to live for Jesus too. By their fruits you shall know. And the wisdom that's from above is full of good fruit, good works. Number eight, it is without partiality. It does not receive the face. It does not judge people based on the arbitrary standards that sinful and carnal man has created. It looks at the soul. It looks at what's on the inside, not the outside. It is without partiality. Number eight, it is without, number nine, it is without hypocrisy. It is without hypocrisy. It is not a pretend actor. You notice there's a little box there on the back of the bulletin that asks a couple of questions. And as you look at those lists, this distinction about wisdom not from above and wisdom from above, which list best describes your life? If someone had to write a biography of you, which list would they use? Who are you? Remember how the text started in James 13? Who is wise and understanding among you? Who are you? Who am I? Do I need wisdom from above? Jesus, in a parable in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, describes a wise man and a foolish man. And the distinction between those two men is the foolish man heard the word of God, heard the teachings of Jesus, heard the commandments of God, and did not do them. The wise man heard the teachings and the commandments of Jesus, and he did them. That's the difference. So are you wise, or are you foolish? Will you listen, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Will you listen to Jesus and do what he says? If you are, you are a wise man. The foolish man built on sand foolishly, the wise man built on the rock wisely. Look at that song we're about to sing as an invitation song. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Will you be wise and build your life on Jesus? Will you do it this morning as we stand and we sing?